Voice of the Cape Drive Time, welcome back to the show. 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp line. You can query, comment, and you can criticize. Seeing that Heritage Day is almost upon us and that September is Heritage Month, we're going to be doing something about our heritage. In this particular instance, we're going to be talking about the handwriting or the Arabic calligraphy of Tuan Guru, Imam Abdullah ibn Qadi Abdus Salam. I don't think Tuan Guru needs any introduction to South Africans. Capetonians, he arrived here in 1780 as a political exile from the Indonesian island of Tadori, arrived at Cape Town, spent a year in Robben Island, was taken off Robben Island, saw the British battle the Dutch at Saldanha Bay, walked back to Saldanha Bay, and was back on the island again from 1786 until 1791. During that time, Tuan Guru wrote a Quran from memory. In fact, he wrote five Qurans from memory. He wrote a book that has been called the Marifa, which is a textbook of Shafi fiqh and spirituality and many other things besides. It's over 600 pages and many other kitabs. But something that has always fascinated me about Tuan Guru has been his calligraphy, his style of writing. I'm not an expert, but it is something that I've never seen before. But somebody who's been doing a lot of investigation is Fahim Jackson. He's from the Boerkaap, a keen historian and a calligrapher. Fahim, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa shafiq. Shukran for having me. How are you doing?
Afan, I'm doing very well, alhamdulillah. Fahim, you've got an interesting story of how you came into contact with a very interesting calligraphy of Tuan Guru. I believe you were in the Owl Mosque, and unfortunately, there was a bit of an incident, and you were given the old Quran to put back together again after somebody tried to grab it. And that's when you started to understand and I think appreciate the unique writing style, unique calligraphy of Tuan Guru.
That's absolutely correct, Uncle Shafiq. So it was somewhere between 2003-2004 when I was actually teaching at the Owl Mosque in the mornings. And I was sitting upstairs with the students, and I heard something happening downstairs, people shouting and fighting with each other. And I obviously ran to the balcony and looked down, and there was the Ahmad was standing there, was the old Mu'adhin. Allah grant him nur in his qabr, inshallah.
Ameen.
And he asked me to come downstairs and have a look what happened, and I saw the Quran of Tuan Guru, all the pages of the Quran scattered all over the mosque's floor, salah. And the committee then came. It was only the few of us in the mosque, really, at that time. It was still in the morning. And the committee came, and they decided that they're going to give it to me because there was no page numbers on the Quran, on the Tuan Guru's Quran pages. And I also didn't realize that it wasn't actually, binded properly. It was just like a kind of like a stack of pages in the cabinet. So that's when the alarm bells started ringing to get the Quran restored. But obviously, first of all, we needed to put it back in the correct order. I'm sure somebody else probably double checked that it was in the correct order afterwards. But they gave me the Quran in a box. I didn't have a car that time.
Yeah, right.
and I lived in my parents are still staying there in Bryan Street. So they gave me the Quran in the box, and I walked. Obviously nobody suspected me to be carrying the Quran, of Tuan Guru in a box. So I think that's also the reason why they just said, just take it in this box. nobody will know. So I took it home, and my parents obviously also didn't know why, what was happening, and I explained it to them. But obviously we were all happy that we had the barakah of Tuan Guru's Quran in our home. And I believe that my next door neighbor at the time, Hussein Moses, in the year that I was born, 1982, I just gave my age away now.
That's all right.
In 1982, they did some renovations at the mosque, at the old masjid. I think that was for the first time in a very, very long time. And they did the restoration, and they put in a new ceiling. So when they did this, they kind of like removed the old ceiling, and when they did this, they found this Quran and many other manuscripts that was written in the Malay language. We will say Jawi. It was written in Indonesian and Koptic books, probably from the students, many students of the Awal Masjid at the time when Tuan Guru was teaching there. So probable reason why they hid it there was because they wanted to keep it away from the authorities, and when Islam was still banned from being practiced in the open. So that's part of the reason why I got a little bit more acquainted with Tuan Guru's Quran. So when anybody spoke about Tuan Guru's Quran, it was almost like I could see it right in front of me because of that process and what happened. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how long it took. It took probably a couple of weeks to put it back together again. But I had the time and the opportunity, alhamdulillah, to page through every single page and verify that it was, the pages were in the correct place.
And of course, when you were doing that, you discovered that a Tuan Guru was reflecting an amazing tradition of hifz. And I don't think many of us realize that hifz is sometimes not just remembering the Quran in the sense of reciting. It's also the methodologies that go behind it. In fact, writing down the Quran is as part of the hifz tradition as anything else, being able to write it out from memory.
Yes, of course. I mean, we speak about the Quran as being something that you have to read. The Quran was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, and he had to recite it to him, and they recited it back to the Sahaba, recited it back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and verified in that way. But he had people around him who were called a Katib al-Quran or Katib al-Wahi, somebody that was a scribe who wrote down the Wahi, the revelation. When the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with a new surah or verse or ayah or anything, so there was a tradition of writing right from the word go. Since the Quran was revealed, the writing tradition was there. But it's I think it's kind of like overlooked in our madrasa system, that writing beautiful Arabic writing or calligraphy, if you can put it like that, it's not really a subject in our madaris. And I thought, just continuing from my ustad, Dr. Sulaiman Nuruddin, who just recently passed on, Allah grant him forgiveness and
Ameen.
Lord in his qabr as well. So just continuing with this legacy of his endeavors to kind of bring calligraphy to the forefront as well, like all the other subjects in the madrasas, like Arabic and Tawheed and everything else, and also obviously Tajweed. So for me, if you're learning Tajweed to recite the Quran correctly, then calligraphy would be the Tajweed to write the Quran beautifully.
Absolutely. Now, when I saw the manuscripts of Tuan Guru, and I was privileged to see a number of them and actually take some pictures of them, even letters that he wrote, which proved to be quite revolutionary in understanding who he was. But one thing really stood out for me, it was the style that he wrote. He was using a bamboo pen or a stocky. He wrote in black and red ink, where the woes were very sweeping. I hadn't seen them done that way. And the letter Ayn, the way he was writing the letter Ayn, it blew me away, because this is something that I hadn't seen before, and you've also picked this up. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, there was obviously there's quite a few things that I picked up besides those that you mentioned.
And the calf is the calf as well. Yes.
Yes, the calf. So his calligraphic style, I really love the way he wrote. And but the style ties into a type of handwriting style that's prevalent in, or at the time, was prevalent in Indonesia. So I'm not quite sure, like, you know, exactly how this style came about. But I spoke to an Indonesian calligrapher, and he said that in Indonesia, in the madrasa system, they call it a pesantren. The students are taught how to write Arabic, and also they have a way how to write the Indonesian language. They call it Jawi.
Yes.
So you're using Arabic letters. So it's kind of like very similar. If you look at Tuan Guru's writing, how he writes the Quran, and if he translates anything into the Indonesian language using the Jawi script, then it looks very similar, but there are obviously variations. There's different characters that they use, like, for example, a kaf with a dot on top of it will be a g sound that you just don't find in Arabic. So they will have these letters accommodating for those certain sounds. But when you refer to the ayin, yes, that's something that I definitely picked up, how he starts writing the ta. It's not in the traditional way that we learn Arabic calligraphy nowadays.
Not at all.
Not at all. Obviously, the letters resembles Arabic, but the proportions and the size and everything is different. And I think it's also the reason why, because of the way he cut his qalam or pen. You know, in traditional Arabic calligraphy, the oblique cut of the pen is required to get those fine strokes. But and probably that is also the reason why you get these sweeping, tails of certain letters like the waw, the ra. And also he has there's a thing in Arabic calligraphy called kashida. So kashida basically means a long letter, something that you drag. And those are also very flat. Like, you know, if you look at the Turkish show, the Ottoman or Baghdadi style of writing Quran or Nas handwriting, you will see that they resemble more like a bowl shape. But with Tuan Guru, it's like a sweeping. It has that feel of a long. Long tail.
Yeah, in fact, he's writing his where you need a tail with your wo, your ra, it becomes more horizontal than vertical because his alifs, on the other hand, are very short and like wavy and short. It's not a long stroke like a sword. It's like a sort of a blunt, wavy line, isn't it?
Yes, and it's also because he's holding the angle of his pen is different to traditional writing. So I wouldn't say it's incorrect or correct or whatever. It is just unique and it's beautiful. And I feel that, to learn something like this, to teach it to our kids is to kind of revisit or actually, you know, give that honor to Tuan Guru and his teaching that he left here for us as South Africans and Muslims, not only Malays, but for everyone. And if you look in other countries, you will see that in Morocco, for example, they have a very distinct style of writing Arabic. It's called the Maghribi calligraphy script. So their Qurans, for example, would be printed in that style. It will be handwritten by a calligrapher and printed in that style. So for us to read the Maghribi script would be a little bit more difficult because even the qaf, for example, in the Maghribi script, the qaf would have a one dot at the top, whereas our qaf, we normally have two dots, and in a fa would have one dot beneath. So it's like it will be confusing for us to read it. So, but that's specifically to those people in certain areas, North Africa, in Spain as well. And like I say, so I feel that this could be the start of probably creating a script that is unique to us, South African Muslim community.
Yeah, somebody, a WhatsApp has come in. This person says, Indonesian language is not known as Jawi, it's known as Bahasa. I've studied in Java in Indonesia and studied by the university. Some wrong facts. And I think what we need to emphasize here for him is we're talking about the script. We're not talking about Bahasa here. We're actually talking about Javanese as opposed to Bahasa Malaya, which is another language on its own.
Yes, Bahasa Indonesia and Bahasa Melayu. So the Malays would say Bahasa Melayu. And Indonesians would say Bahasa Indonesia. So they will say Bahasa. Bahasa basically is a word meaning language. But here we're referring to the writing, not the actual language. We're referring to the writing. So the Arabic script which was used to write Bahasa, that is called Jawi. Or it's also called Tulisan Pegon. So for the person who studied Indonesia, they could probably just go back and verify those facts, because it is, I have verified these facts with Indonesian calligraphers as well. sorry about that.
Yeah, look, it's just a technical point, and it's well meant, that's for sure. I like your idea of Capetonian South Africans learning to write in the manner of Tuan Guru. I mean, this would be a very beautiful way of honoring his memory, because the research that I've done, I would humbly put forward that Tuan Guru is the pioneer of the Quranic traditions at the Cape. You also point out that if you look at the Quran, Tuan Guru is very specific about tajweed, about phraseology and stuff. The word Allah is always written in red. That the way he writes the Quran is also written for the modes of recitation. That Tuan Guru is the father of the Hifz tradition at the Cape in South Africa, and the best way of honoring him is to honor his calligraphy as well.
Yes, absolutely, Uncle Shafiq. I feel it's something that must be done, inshallah, because when people speak about Tuan Guru, over the past probably centuries, people refer to Tuan Guru obviously respectfully as a wali, as somebody that I have to go visit his qabr and his kramat in Tana Baru. And we know that he was a very highly respectable person, first imam of the Awal Masjid. But then it kind of stopped there, because we didn't know anything further. And shukran, and thanks to your book also, Uncle Shafiq, a lot of other facts and information about Tuan Guru has also now come to the fore. So it's more interesting than what we think it is. And so if we can go back, and make this a prominent writing style in our madaris, then that would be the best way to honor the legacy that Tuan Guru left for us.
Absolutely. Fahim Jackson, a man of the Boerkap, a person who is passionate about calligraphy, also about the history of the region, and of course Tuan Guru. Shukran, thanks for chatting to us, and let's hope that the unique calligraphic style of Tuan Guru is appreciated for what it is, and yet hope it becomes the norm for us in the Cape. Fahim, shukran, thanks for chatting to us, or maybe Tarama Kasi.
Sama-sama.
Salam.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.